So, tell me about your problems. Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of any MayNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show.
Everybody, welcome to the Anime X Games 2012 live Ancast. Thanks everyone for coming. So Justin's here. Justin Vegas. I'm Zach Birchie.
Yep. Hi.
And normally when we do these live shows, we come up and we talk a little bit about the con so far. And it's been about an hour since the con started. So we don't really have anything to say about the convention yet.
No.
No.
I'm really looking forward to seeing cars loop the loop outside.
Yeah.
That'll be really awesome if I happen to be outside when it happens. But that I put low odds on that.
Yeah, I want to see that Hot Wheels demonstration. But I think that's going to be a madhouse tomorrow and Sunday.
Yeah, I'm just predicting not being able. I'm really, really worried they're going to bogart those food trucks. That's my sole reason for coming, really.
Yeah, what's that?
They moved the food trucks a little bit down the street.
Yeah, we saw. Anyway.
Yeah. By the way, don't shout out because we're recording this, but you're not mic'd, so no one will be able to hear you. It'll just be this awkward moment in the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. If you listen to the previous live shows, there's always like someone shouting from the way back, and I'm like, sir, could you please stop? And it sucks. And I can't really edit this, so we're kind of live here. Since we don't have anything to talk about
at all,
we're going to do what we do when we don't feel like putting any effort into a show during the normal week, and just take questions and give away prizes. And we have lots of prizes to give away here. Plenty of stuff to give out.
Prizes.
Not all of it is good, and in fact, a lot of it is not good. But that's what you get when you come here. I think we should probably line up, maybe.
That would make sense.
Yeah. You could start the line right there, I guess.
By the way, we're really grateful to the tech guys here because we have to do basically
check.
No work.
Big fan of the show, first time, long time.
Oh, thanks. It's really nice of you to say. It's always good to meet a listener.
I was here last year. So what do you think about Sentai giving the DVD rights to that lowly basketball show back to the Japanese?
Oh,
this is the Rokuboom basketball little girls thing that they had to give the rights back to. I think this was a music issue.
It was probably a music issue, but it's probably one of those things that's just some sort of legal technicality. We don't know what happened. Clearly it's a show that we're really, really looking forward to owning forever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sucks for the 12 people that really wanted it.
I can't imagine that Sentai Filmworks possibly made any sort of contract mistake, given the incredibly careful and measured way that they license shows now.
Right.
So, yeah, I can't imagine it was a mistake on their part. But good question, so come on up. Your prize is this fabulous set of Dragon Ball Z coasters. Yay. Here you go.
They look bootleg, but they are really legit.
Previously on Dragon Ball Z, a can of Mountain Dew Code Red. So, anyway, go ahead.
Long time listener, first time.
Close caller. Enough, but thanks. I appreciate that.
What do you think that seems to be this year? It seems to be a lot of long time manga series are either ending or being calling to they're going to end soon.
Well, I don't think it's good news for really anyone that some of those are going away because there's not a lot of replacements.
No, there's like there hasn't been a new Naruto or a new One Piece or a new Bleach in a while.
10 years.
Yeah.
I would say.
And some have come close, but nothing's reached that level.
The ones that did ebbed out. Like they stopped after
right.
however many volumes. Like they did end already. So I don't think that's good news. There's nothing to replace them yet, but what can you do? I mean, you can't force them to keep going. So oh well, no more Naruto for Viz, and they can worry about their next cash cow. But I don't know. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens to them once that goes away. And I have to wonder if Viz is regretting the idea to push everything to be coming out right now, and not extending the life of that product at all.
No, it got rid of their buffer, but at the same time, there's really nothing else they could do, because if they didn't do that, everyone would just pirate everything constantly.
Well, they do that anyway. All right. Great question. So you get, let's see here, a copy of Dirty Pair, Affair of Nolandia. Oh, this is the ADV release. So it's not even the new one. Here you go. Enjoy. There you go.
Love the show. First time, long time.
Thanks, man. Everyone's so nice.
Yeah. Go ahead. Actually, technically started last night with opening ceremonies. Did you guys see that?
We did, yeah.
That doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
Did you come up here to correct us, or?
No, I just wanted to point that I was you guys weren't impressed at all, or?
It's kind of interesting. I've actually literally never been to opening ceremonies because there's nothing about it that interests me. But I had to go last night for work, and no, it wasn't impressive. They brought the guests of honor out. Everyone clapped. You know what? Actually, Bamboo, I don't think she's here. She's interviewing Yuki Kajiura right now. She pointed out that something that the fans do that's actually kind of racist, when they bring out a Japanese guest and she comes out and she holds the mic and she goes, "Hello." And the whole audience yells it back like that. So they do the voice. They're like, "Hello," and it's like, that's racist. Don't. Come on, man. Like, it's horrible. But I did enjoy the parade of adult women in dolly clothing. That was great. Other than that, I got nothing against Danny Chu, but we're all a little tired of the Gollum impression, so maybe he should work on a new joke. But other than that, yeah, whatever. It was an opening ceremonies, man. Who cares?
I think he should. I think his next impression should be from Precious.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be awesome.
Okay, so that was more of a correction than a question, but you still get a prize. This is a Dragon Age Dawn of the Seeker votive candle. Take it to your nearest Catholic church. And pray that that does better for Funimation than it did.
Hello, hello, testing. Hi, big fan of the show. First time, long time.
Thank you.
And to prove it, I have a question about your previous podcast.
All right.
You occasionally like to go off topic and not talk about anime. You like to talk about live action, like movies or TV shows. Mm-hmm. Like you ask your guests, so what have you been watching on network TV or cable?
Yeah.
Or something like that. So, I don't mind you mixing it up because it allows me to learn more about you and, like, Hollywood in general. But right. You always tend to separate them. Like, when you go to your top 10 lists of, like, 2011, you liked, you had the top 10 anime and top 10 movies. What if you mixed them both? Will you ever compare anime at the same level as Hollywood? And, like for last year, you had top movies, anime, and then top live action movies. So basically the question is, in 2011, what do you like better? Which movie do you like better? Red Line or Tree of Life? Like if you were to compare them on an equal level?
They're so dissimilar. Like, I don't feel that's fair.
Tree of Life.
And the answer is the answer is Tree of Life, but like that would be like saying my favorite, like people separate, like the Oscars separate animated out into its own category, and people call that a ghetto. But I feel like the feedback we would get if we just mixed them all back together would be, you're not treating anime like it's special. And the intent there is to treat anime like it's special and different and the focus of the show. It also gives people who don't give a shit what we think about movies and don't want to hear anything about movies, they can easily skip past that part of the show, which I've actually been told people want. They're like, please let us know when you start talking about things that are not animated and from Japan so I can fast forward through your dribble. And so I may as well give them that option. But if the hidden implication here is that we think that Hollywood film is naturally better than anime, that's not true. We've been doing this for a very long time, and obviously if we felt that way, we still wouldn't be in this line of work. So, I mean, we can't really mix them back together.
Well, the other thing is most anime that comes out these days are TV shows.
Yeah, right.
So. That's really not fair to compare a movie to a TV show.
Yeah.
Any given year there might be one or two anime movies, and maybe they're good or maybe they're not good. You know, what if that was the year Earthsea came out? Jesus, that wouldn't even place.
Okay, so in honor of your question about comparing super high-quality things like Redline and the Tree of Life, your prize is a copy of Sekirei, the complete series, on Blu-ray. So come on up and take that.
Hello, love the show. First time, long time.
Thank you.
And Zach, I was wondering what your favorite episode of Kojika was.
Of?
Kodomo no Jikan.
This is what it feels like to be zinged. I'm sorry, I don't have one. I haven't watched that show, and that's why I'm sitting here in front of you and not in federal prison. So.
Oh, that's harsh.
Here, come and get your prize. Here is a Dragon Age Dawn of the Seeker t-shirt. Maybe it's in your size. Enjoy.
Hey guys, big fan. Me, love you long time.
Okay, I'll let it go.
Yeah, I'm that guy. Two quick questions. One, I was wondering if either of you had any personal interest in what Stu Levy had to say in tomorrow's Tokyo Pop.
Oh yes, I can't wait for that.
How about you, Justin?
Well, I'm on Stu's Facebook, so I kind of hear what he has to say anyway. I don't know. I'll pop by. Oh, wait, no, I have an interview during that time.
Yeah, you're going to miss it.
So, no, I would hang on every word he says, but I instead will be listening to someone else talk. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Stu finally hit me back on Twitter. Like, I tend to ping Stu with shitty little things, and he finally was like, Zach, shut the fuck up. So maybe I'll say hi to him at the panel.
Yeah, I can imagine there's going to be a lot of vitriol there. Second question was, I noticed, I think your boss, Christopher McDonald.
He's sitting up front here.
Okay, I thought that was him, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
He recently, or I don't know, I should probably ask him, but he'd recently put out a tweet saying, hey, what are some ideas as far as maybe monetizing your podcast?
Mm.
And I was kind of wondering what your guys' input on that was and any ideas.
Well, obviously that's something we've been looking into since we started the podcast, and it's something that's really, really hard to do. Otherwise, we would have done it by now.
You know, the top podcasts, like you look at iTunes Top 10 podcasts, and the people that we actually do a pretty okay job competing. Like if you look at the top 250 TV and film podcasts, a new episode of our show, it'll get up there. Like it gets up pretty high, and we're competing with the likes of, you know, Adam Carolla, and Mark Maron's listed in there sometimes. Like those people have hundreds of thousands of listeners. This show has tens of thousands of listeners. And yet those people have a very difficult time actually monetizing the podcast itself. Those guys make their money doing live shows. They sell some ads. They get some sponsorships, but not a lot.
Maybe we should sell coffee.
Yeah, maybe we should sell coffee or do shitty live shows at an improv. But or here. But it's incredibly tough to monetize it. We've had a sponsor like once, I think. And people look at it and they go, yeah, okay, so 40,000 people listen to that episode. Do those people stay through the whole thing? Can you even get metrics on where they're listening and when they're stopping and how long they're listening? Like, it's just really tough. So we're going to keep looking and keep trying, but there's no easy solution. But thanks for your question.
Yeah, the only input that I would have, maybe to the chagrin of everyone here listening, but something similar to maybe like what Kevin Smith has going with Smodcast, where if you get the free version, which I know the podcast is free for everyone, but, you know, free version may have like an ad or two at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then anyone who you guys have like a premium pass for the website, right?
Well, you have to have ads to begin with.
Yeah,
for that
we have to
work.
Actually sell some ads. Like that's, we're at that point where like,
yeah.
Do you know anyone who would like to purchase ad space on Ncast?
If you're asking me, no. But no, like I was saying though, I mean, anyone behind that premium, you know, membership behind for the website, they could have access to the
ad-free
version.
You can just annoy people for like 3 minutes before every episode.
I'll sing for 3 minutes, and if you don't want the singing, you have to pay us $2 per episode.
That might actually work.
Just throwing that out there.
No, that's an interesting idea, and I've thought about that a lot, like offering a premium service or some sort of thing. We've actually considered going back and archiving a lot of our older episodes, which aren't on iTunes anymore, but a lot of our best stuff is in there. Like, there's a three-hour Carl Majek show in there. We should archive our best stuff and sell it. So, like, $5, you get 25 episodes of AnCast that's our best of collection or something like that.
We crop off all the really dated banter at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, it's something like that. But there's a lot of ideas, but that's a really good idea, so I really appreciate that. Thanks. And you're actually going to get, I think I have something decent in here. Are you a Full Metal Alchemist fan?
Clearly huge Full Metal Alchemist fan.
Do you already own it all?
Shit.
Tupac. Oh, shit. Okay, guys. He brought up Tupac. Now, I know some of you were wondering whether or not Tupac would make an appearance here, and I was planning on giving him away, but I looked deep into his eyes, and I couldn't bring myself to do it.
No!
So I'm not giving away Tupac. The other idea was to put a little slap a word bubble on it, because this is a huge portrait of Tupac that I have in my trunk. I was going to slap a word balloon on it that said, "Eat shit, bronies," and carry it around. I figured that would just be a little bit too trollish. So anyway, well, I want to give you something good. That's such a good question. How about DBZ?
Sure.
Okay. Here's the first two seasons of Dragon Ball Kai.
All right,
there you go, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, man.
Big fan of the show, first time, long time.
Thank you.
I really love how you guys interview your interview person.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
How do you guys draw the line between, like, you know, pissing them off, and because you guys provoke them with, like, really difficult questions at times, and, like, sometimes you guys kind of, like, no, I don't think that's how it began or whatever like that. How do you guys draw that line, I guess, when you guys interview?
It's hard. You have to really just kind of gauge them and infer what their mood is at any given moment, because you do have to push their buttons sometimes to really for them to really just give you the answer that you know is the actual answer, or give an answer that you think like they're being upfront with you. There are people that we just don't have on just because we don't think that they will be.
And we've had a few guests where they actually told us, excuse me, afterward, that they appreciated the fact that we kind of pushed them to be candid. Because a lot of these guys don't get the chance to speak candidly. They're expected by their superiors to just give the bullshit PR answer to everything. And we're sort of allergic to that. So, we tend to push them. We have been told afterwards on a few occasions, I won't name names, but tell us that they felt ambushed. And I always kind of wear that as a badge of pride. Like, great. I'm glad I made you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no value in a fluffy interview, is there? I mean, everyone knows you're really happy and proud of your new project.
And it was so much fun working with X.
Right.
Whatever. All right, good question.
Yeah, positivity.
God, I have so much Dirty Pair. Okay, you're going to get one of many copies of Dirty Pair Flash, the show that no one wants. Now you have it. Hey, everyone, it's Hope Chapman.
You've ruined my joke. I was going to say I've never listened to the show. I just needed a place to sit down. But okay, so you don't have to answer this. No, now you do because you picked on me.
By saying your name?
Yeah.
Go on.
I've been stopped in the hall a lot today, okay? But anyway, so you have a stream that you've been sharing with the good people of Twitter recently. And I was wondering if you could, for those of you who don't know, share some of the wonderful new old things you found, like Mohawk and headphone jack, and tell us a little bit about what you've been doing for the past 2 weeks on your stream.
Oh, okay. So recently I discovered the magic of live streaming shitty old video games. And if you go to my stream, it's twitch.tv/ANNZach. And I do this in evenings when I'm bored and my girlfriend isn't coming over, which is like five nights a week. during the summer, man, it's nothing on TV. So I will generally start streaming an archive of the worst crappy old video games I can possibly find. And it's been a lot of fun, and we've actually discovered a few hidden gems, like the one she mentioned, crazy European game called Headphone Jack and Microphone, or Microphone Jack and Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning when we loaded this up, and the chat started freaking out, and I was like, I think I'm tripping balls right now. And we play old rap and we play old 90s music, and it's a good time laughing at Schadenfreude, and yeah, it's a fun time. So that's usually the weeknights and stuff. I tend to do that. And we also
it's suffering through Ghostbusters while listening to Aqua.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of Aqua. Hope you like Aqua. And occasionally we do run the Oregon Trail, which is always a lot of fun.
But it's a PC version, not the Apple II version.
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
count.
But we do run the trail, and that's popular time. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I really like doing that for now. So it's a summer thing, but, yeah, check it out. Thanks, Hope.
Big fan of the show. First time, long time.
Thanks.
Recently, I got into a bit of a discussion with my friend, and we were talking about how manga and anime, they progressed through the years. And he made the statement that manga and anime is actually becoming a lot more perverted as it was, and it got...
What?
No, I mean, even more so than it used to be in the past. And so it got really bad when this guy, he's a lot older than me, he saw the program for AX, and he's like, oh, they got an adult lounge now, and it's sponsored by Tentacle Grape, and you're actually still doing this stuff. And I was just wondering, what do you feel? Do you think that anime manga is starting to veer too much into the adult territory, or is it just good enough?
It has always been filthy. Always. Okay, just to... I mean, it's true that there are... That everyone's always trying to push some boundary here, but seriously, the first tentacle porn was made in the Edo period.
I think you're being a little reductive.
Sure.
He's not talking about hentai. He's talking about the mainstreaming of, like, ecchi stuff, where, like, half the shows... Like, you've seen the summer season... Half the shows are just, like, excuses for not quite porn.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. But there's a lot more of that stuff than there used to be. And there is no hentai home video market anymore. So all that stuff has to go somewhere.
Sure.
And not to mention, you know, if you want to go back to the 70s, look at Go Nagai's manga. That stuff's all just dripping with fluids.
Yeah, but, you know, we're doing these best-of shows where we do best of the 80s, best of the 90s, and I literally revisited 40 shows from the 90s, and granted, that's not a huge chunk, but it's not the same now.
Well, no, but those are all the shows that people said were decent years hence.
Yeah, but we didn't have 5 or 6 fan service-only shows every single season back then.
Sure we did. They were just OVAs that no one paid attention to.
All right.
Now they're just
so
on
you're
TV.
Saying it hasn't changed at all. It's totally the same now as it was then.
Well, it's definitely more child porn-ish.
Moving on. anyway, you're going to win... Oh, how about some more Dirty Pair? Here's an OVA series from ADV. There you go, buddy.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. First time, long time.
Thank you.
A word I feel that gets kind of overused in, like, criticism and whatnot is pretentious.
Mm.
And in, I guess, your own words, at what point does something cross the line from being, you know, high-minded and insightful to pretentious? And can you think of any examples? Any really good examples?
I can think of a couple, actually.
I hate that word so much now that... It doesn't yeah. enter my brain when I'm watching something that's pretending to be high-minded and isn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. People use it to dismiss things that actually are trying to do things, and that's the opposite of what pretentious means.
Yeah, pretentious is this show is trying to make me think, and I don't like to think, so fuck this. Like,
yeah, what pretentious is actually supposed to mean is basically it... Witch Hunter Robin, where, you know, it's just a long, slow burn where it's trying to make you think that you're being intellectual when really it's just kind of, okay, well, that was a really plain story.
Yeah. It's hard to come up with examples. Again, I've kind of taken the word out of my vocabulary. But there are definitely anime that pretend to be all highfalutin and really don't have anything to say at all. But people tend to dismiss... with that word, the worst thing about it is people use it to dismiss good things. And, yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
yeah.
Couldn't give you an example right off the top of my head, but good question.
This is pretentious means I'm not smart enough.
Sometimes, yeah. How about some Dirty Pair? I guess this is the first TV show or something. There you go, buddy.
Hey, I'm a big fan of the show. Actually drove 6 hours to get here, and you guys kept me awake at the wheel, so thanks for that.
Holy cow, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for not killing anyone.
Wow. Thank
that,
you.
That would have made for one hell of a headline.
Yeah.
So whenever people talk about directors, there seems to be a tendency to focus both on film directors and directors who are whose works are relatively aged. So which directors do you think are some of the best that we have, anime directors that we have, with the focus mainly being on television directors who have been active within the past few years?
Good question.
Damn it, I hate getting stuff on the spot like this because there are so many good answers and I have none of them on the top of my brain.
For me, right now, since I've been going back so much, I haven't been so much watching new stuff, but those best of shows take up a tremendous amount of time. I've actually been going back through the works of Osamu Dezaki because I haven't seen a lot of his stuff.
Yeah, but he's dead, so he's not working.
I know he's dead, but not working, so I guess that's not a good answer, but like that's coming up on the top of my head. Is I always look forward to him. Obviously...
not much to look forward to.
Obviously, why can't I think of his name? Cowboy Bebop, Kids on the Slope.
Oh, Watanabe. Watching, sure,
yes. Yeah, okay, him.
The guy that does Emma and 12 Kingdoms, Kunihiko...
Ikuhara?
No. Other Kunihiko. Fuck. Kunihiko something or other that does Emma, and unfortunately he did Kurokami, and now I'm not sure he still has it, but he was really good. Hopefully he'll make another 12 Kingdoms or Emma again.
Who directed Lupin, the new one?
I don't know who the director is. I only
well,
know
that guy. Whoever that guy is.
See, I used to be such an encyclopedia for this stuff. Now I turned 30 and my brain just decided I'm going to have Alzheimer's now.
Yeah. There's plenty of them. There's directors whose stuff I look forward to. I unfortunately can't just list them, but
oh, Tatsuo Sato.
Yeah, Tatsuo Sato, he's here.
Yeah.
And I like his stuff. So yeah, there are plenty of them. You know, we bitch a lot, but there's actually plenty
all
of good
the time.
New. There's plenty of new good TV anime, and a lot of it comes from the directors that we tend to follow. So yeah, anyway, good question. You are going to win. Speaking of great directors, Full Metal Alchemist, The Sacred Star of Milos. Thanks, man.
Hi, me again.
Hi.
So I don't get anything else.
Yeah.
What do you think DMP's chances of doing another Kickstarter with Unico, like with Unico levels of success? Because it's like hit 26,000 in several days. They're already talking about doing their third stretch goal.
Right. With the Kickstarter stuff, like they're being pretty safe sticking to Tezuka titles. That's why that's raising so much money, because it's Tezuka. Tezuka has fans of all ages, mostly older people with disposable income to spend on things like that. Once they move away from Tezuka and we start seeing Kickstarters from them on more obscure artists, maybe not the guy literally referred to as the god of manga, you will see less success. I'm really happy that they're doing that, and they can stick to Tezuka as long as they want, and they can release everything he ever made, and we will all be better for it. In terms of seeing that level of success, it's the name. If they just announced the third one. Somebody yells from the audience. Oh, you did. Oh, that's the dude from Digital Manga. He's sitting right back there.
We can't hear you. Microphones.
Triton.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Anyway, go to his panel.
Yeah.
You'll find out. At any rate, that's my answer. Enjoy your coasters.
My question is, what do you guys feel about the sworn enemy of all anime fans everywhere, 4Kids Entertainment, finally kicking the bucket?
Let it go? One Piece happened a decade ago?
Have you talked to your therapist about this?
Multiple times.
Yeah, I mean, you got your uncut One Piece. Everything is fine. Life is good.
Honestly, like, they did that for children, and we got all the uncut stuff, and a bunch of people just lost their jobs, so I, whatever, man.
Yeah, a lot of my old, like, voice actor friends in New York have, like, nobody hiring them now. It's actually really, really sad.
Yep. That's how we feel about it. Sorry to bum you out.
And he walks away so slowly.
Would you like a prize? Okay. Here, this will pick you up. It's Dragon Age Dawn of the Seeker 5-hour energy drink.
Big fan of the show. This actually is the first time I've ever asked a question of the show, but I've been listening since the first podcast.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. And,
he didn't follow the exact verbiage, so we can't.
This guy's wearing the moving kitty ears too. So just so people want to know.
The batteries are dead, right? But with when every new season comes out, usually when I kind of look through the list, I make a list of titles that just kind of based on just the picture and the description. I'd like I really got to check that out. What's kind of your criterias for deciding, or if you even have any of, if there's a show, even before you see any preview clips, any animation of it, what you really want to check out and give a chance to?
This actually goes back to an earlier question. It's the creative staff and concept art.
We've been led astray by concept art before, though.
We have. But creative staff, synopsis. But frankly, the preview... New season time is very different for me in that I have to watch everything that I can possibly get to, because if I don't, the traffic for the season preview goes down a little bit, and we don't like that. So I have to be fairly indiscriminate. But I don't know. You tend to not watch
anything
new stuff.
No, I wait for the fandom to fully masticate things and boil them down to what I actually do need to watch and what ends up shitting the bed at episode 13. So I end up seeing very little, and so I haven't... Now Kids in the Slope is finally done. I can actually watch it.
Yeah, although I heard Lupin shat the bed.
Well, I'm not going to watch Lupin.
Aw. Anyway, good question. You win. Uh-oh. This may be the last of the dirty pair. Dirty Pair Flash. Why do I have so many copies of that? It's almost as though no one wants it.
Big fan, long time, first time.
Thanks, you almost got it.
When your guys were doing the best of 80s and 90s, where do you get your tapes? Is it from your own private collection, or is it from you guys have an archive room?
I get a lot from him.
I have a disturbingly huge collection. It's actually kind of upsetting. I have these three flight cases that all hold 600 discs each. Two of them are fully dedicated to anime, and I've only kept what I liked.
So,
I don't like very many things.
Yeah, I mean, that deep discount usually has some old shit laying around. There's an FYE near me, which is great because it has a huge anime graveyard in it. So I've been able to just go there and find old Bandai collections. And actually, it's close to the former Bandai offices, so I think somebody there was dumping stuff at the FYE. So I've actually had really good luck finding legit copies. If there's something I just straight up cannot find anywhere or is so far out of print, I will either skip it, or if I'm totally desperate, then I'll go ahead and download it. But only in the cases where I literally have no legal option to watch it. But generally, 95, 97% of the time, I've been able to find discs. And thanks to this guy, he helps me out, too. So, yeah, generally that's what we're doing.
Thank you.
Sure. Good question.
You must be running out.
Yeah, right, I'm getting close to running out here. Thought I had more. Okay, here is a Dragon Age Dawn of the Seeker USB. I think this is a 2-gig drive. Oh, there you go, man. Enjoy. Yeah, no problem.
Hello, what's it? Big time, big fan, first time, long time.
Okay. There you go.
Okay. So I really love playing fighting games. My question is, why is it that anime-esque fighting games don't get a lot of love compared to games like maybe, like Street Fighter, for example? Because in the area where I'm from, it seems there's always going to be a scene for Street Fighter and anything, like that. But I can go around saying, hey, let's play, games like Blaze Blue, for example. And it's they may play for a few days, and it's okay, we're done with this. So why is it that, anime games get no love? Because these are the same people that are watching anime and stuff.
I'm not a gamer. This is all you.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I think those, like the Guilty Gear and the Blaze Blue lasted a lot longer than the like anime fighting games tend to. But I think you're also talking about a niche within a niche within a niche. So it's a very small niche to begin with. And as far as I know, the fighting game scene is predicated on the fact that they have these fighters that are balanced and polished on an extremely technical level. So the fighting game crew is only going to get those games. Like, they're going to stick to the ones that are super polished and you can play at a real high level. So that's all the Capcom stuff and things like that. So the anime games, they wind up sort of, you know, being sloughed aside because they're not technical enough, they're not operating a high enough level. They're basically produced so fans of the show can pick them up. But I think maybe that's why. That's kind of the only answer I have. I don't know. I suck at fighting games, so I tend to not play them. But yeah, anyway, good question. Let me see if I have anything left in here. Hey, what do you know? Dirty Pair. Some movies for you. Enjoy, man.
Okay, hi, I'm a big fan, long time, first time sort of thing. But I have a very important, difficult question for you.
Yep.
This might take some time for both you guys, but what's your favorite sandwich?
Reuben. No, I'm sorry. What's it called? No, the one they have at Langer's. It's really, really good. Pastrami, thank you. Yes, pastrami, damn it.
I think I'm more of a like a turkey club kind of a guy. No bacon, but yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, I clearly do not need bacon in my life. That's you know, thanks for the question, but I'm so far out of prizes that your sandwich question is going to have to go unrewarded. So, sorry, buddy. Bag goes out last. I know you're all coveting the bag. Tupac is not here. Hey. He's in my trunk. Anyway, go on.
Big fan, first time, long time.
Thank you.
I've actually got a question I've actually been thinking about for a long time. Where do you think all anime fans would stand if the majority of the population actually liked anime and what we consider pop culture today is actually where anime stands right now?
If nerd culture and mainstream culture switched?
Didn't they already do that?
Yeah, they
just not us.
Yeah, we weren't the lucky group. It was the superhero kids that got theirs, and most of them are still there.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, like it would be nice. The only reason I would want anime to become as mainstream as, say, superhero comics is money. A lot more money coming into the industry. A lot more people getting jobs. A lot more success.
We'd be on NPR a lot more.
Yeah, sure. It's just a lot more success for my friends in the industry and everybody I know. That would be nice. But in terms of mainstream culture's impact on a subculture like that, I feel like for a lot of people, not for me, it does kind of ruin it for them a little bit. Like, I know superhero fans who actually read comic books now feel totally left out because Hollywood studios don't give a shit what the comic book fans want, and it's a miracle that those movies are turning out good. But I feel like most anime fans would be alienated because when it comes to super mainstream stuff, the tastes of the super nerd are completely not important. So this is still your special little snowflake thing, and yeah.
And let's face it, do you really want AX to become like San Diego Comic-Con? I would kill myself. Holy shit, I will spend the rest of my life avoiding Comic-Con if I can help it.
Tell us how you really feel. All right, good question. You are going to win the Sacred Blacksmith, the complete series. I hear this has boobs in it, so enjoy.
That will never be mainstream.
Hey there, big fan of the show, first time, long time.
Thanks.
So, you know, I'm apparently one of the few people that still likes to buy anime on shiny discs, and I'm really happy to see Funimation and Discotech and so on keep releasing stuff, but I'm seeing far less Blu-ray as time goes on. I know that Kadokawa basically said, you have to wait a year, and Discotech just hasn't gotten there, I'm curious if you guys think that's impacting sales, or if most people who are still buying stuff are just happy to have anything physical, or if it's just...
It's not just Kadokawa. There's several licensors now that are saying no more U.S. Blu-rays. At least one of them is Ever. streaming, that doesn't count.
Yeah, I think it's going to impact sales.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem. That's because I know video nerds like you and me. Yes, I know this guy. hardcore video nerds like you and me, we want the best possible quality. And if it's not the best possible quality, we might buy it grudgingly if it's on sale rather than pre-order it day and date. So, you know, yeah, that it absolutely impacts sales. And I'm sure Funimation really, really wants to make Panty and Stocking Blu-rays, but they can't, so they won't.
And the other thing is like, speaking of Funimation, they always quote the data they get back from the little survey cards, and they always talk about how anime fans are early adopters, and how whenever they get those cards back, the percentage of people who had Blu-ray players at an early stage was really, really high for their industry. So that must be a major disappointment that suddenly people are, nope, sorry, it's impacting our own sales. It sucks. And I want anime on Blu-ray. I don't want it on DVD. So, it's a bad thing, man.
Yeah, although the production costs are still significantly higher, so there's still a bunch of stuff that just economically doesn't make any sense anyway. So.
Yeah, like Roll Cubu.
Right.
Anyway, so good question. And that means you win a copy of Infinite Stratos, which has been stinking up my anime shelf for a couple of months. Enjoy. And it's on Blu-ray. Anyway.
Good seeing you, man.
Hi, big fan of the show. First time, long time.
Thank you.
So Toonami just recently came back.
It did.
And I was wondering, do you think that it'll go as far as it did before, or will they take it off again? How do you think that's going to work?
Well, it can't go as far as it did before because it used to be a right when you get home from school block full of mainstream content for teenagers, and now it is a late night branding for things that a block that no one was watching before with a couple new shows.
Yeah, so. I honestly, like what they have on it now, they need something fresh, something new. I feel like Dead Man Wonderland was a good pick. Kashirin Sins, maybe not so much. The rest of it is just kind of old reruns. And I feel like it needs to be 2 or 3 hours of stuff people haven't seen a million times. But in terms of what it is, it's a late night branded. It's just Adult Swim Saturdays rebranded with Toonami bumpers, which is cool. And I'm glad it's back and it generated some hype. But even like on the second week, the first weekend, everyone was on Twitter just going nuts about Toonami. Second weekend, a third of those people were actually saying, remember we're supposed to be watching this and supporting it. Now, fucking no one mentions it on Saturday nights. So I'm kind of concerned that it's not going to be around too much longer. But Steve Bloom is very optimistic, so we'll see how it goes. It's a good thing for the industry no matter what. I hope it stays on. Anyway, so speaking of... which, that means that you win the first part of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. This is like 30-some episodes. There you go. Enjoy.
First-time listener, long-time caller.
Hey, weren't you up here before?
These are the jokes, folks. I was wondering what you guys thought of them having a 21 and over lounge this year and how you think it'll affect the... code of conduct policies if they decide to keep it around next year.
Are they serving hard liquor or is it just beer and wine?
I haven't been there yet because it's 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
That said, I worry for our future. No, I think most people will be fine and there will be like one asshole that ruins it for everyone and hopefully they won't base their opinion on that and probably worry more about whether they can afford to buy alcohol next year.
There have been previous anime expos, fun story actually, where they had drink bar carts in the exhibitors hall. This was a few years ago. One time I saw, shit you not, Danny Bonaducci buying a screwdriver at one of those carts during this convention. So alcohol's been available on the show floor before. I just don't see it getting out of hand. Like, there's booze everywhere at Comic-Con, and it's very controlled there. So I don't know. Like I would say, what, 80% of the people here are under 21?
Yeah.
So they're not going to be getting in there anyway.
If you start seeing the the old school neckbeard guys walking around with a 40 and a brown paper bag, then we can start worrying.
Good question, though.
Yo, long-time listener, big fan.
Thanks.
Cool. Anyways, the summer anime list is up, and that means the summer anime previews that you guys are going to be writing. Well, just Zach is going to be you're going to be doing them as well. Last season, you took a lot of crap from the forums about Apute and Mysterious Girlfriend X. Is there,
can you tell
me about like how hard it was to like deal with some of these fans, and like these guys weren't even like trolling; they were like generally trying to defend like these shows. So. Like,
yeah.
Journalistically wise, like, how do you deal with, telling these that this is your opinion and stuff like that?
That's a good question. It's weird because it seems like some of this stuff, I'll watch the first episode and I'll be like, what the fuck? And that will basically be my preview. And I guess, like, 4chan just decides this is the show they're going to defend this season or decide that they love until 6 weeks later when they all turn on it or whatever. And so the defense force shows up in the forums to tell me how horrible I am and I'm objectively wrong because, no, Spit Fetish is awesome and all that shit. I've been doing this a really long time, and I have taken shit so much harsher than that that at this point it seems pretty tame. But I have to stop looking at it because it's a morale killer. It stops me from wanting to do any more after a certain period of time. And you're right, like the Mysterious Girlfriend X stuff was crazy. Like those guys were going out of their mind last time. And looking at the season chart for this season, it's pretty dire. So my chances are not good of not speaking plainly and honestly about how I feel about something and then getting a dump truck full of manure on my head as a result. But this is my life.
I can't wait for Japan to like come up with just some fetish to mainstream that is so horrifyingly offensive that it just gets progressively stranger that people are leaping in to defend it.
You know, it's funny. I made a joke on Twitter the other day about how there was a misspelling I saw in someone's description of Kids on the Slope. And it was three Japanese teenagers in the mid-60s Japan bond over their love of jizz. And then I realized that's probably summer 2013.
Right.
Very, very nice question. Come on up.
All right. So we're moving into...
Where I'm out of dirty pair, so you get Hero Tales. Totally not the most generic thing in the world.
Damn.
Enjoy. We're almost out of time, yeah. So I think we got time for two more.
Probably, yeah.
Two more, okay.
Out of the big fan, long time, whatever you said earlier.
Nice try.
Why did you give my brother a dirty pair?
Why did I give your a dirty pair of what?
That DVD.
Because
he tried to get me to put it in the bag, and I didn't want to touch it.
It's not a bad show.
It's not porn.
It's just an action show. It's not porn. It's not bad.
So, who is more popular out of you two, do you think?
Probably Zach, because he actually cares.
People love you.
Well, look at our Twitter following. You have like three times what I have.
Whatever. That's an irrelevant question. It doesn't matter. Go sit down.
I forgot the intro because the jizz thing has wiped my mind.
Oh.
Jizz does that. Jizz requires wiping.
It's a great 11 o'clock in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead.
Won't sleep for days. You recently did the 80s and 90s review shows, which, by the way, colossal task. Great job. Thank you. I was going to ask, looking back at all of them, which seemed to be a truly immense amount of work, what was the most bitter, heartbreaking disappointment from those shows, from the reviews?
From...
Came back
from
to
digging
Gia.
Through the honestly, a lot of the Rumiko Takahashi stuff did not age well at all.
Ugh.
Especially like the old OVAs from the 80s. They're some of them are just like wrenchingly bad. I can't believe I was that into them. What else?
For me, it was the Rurouni Kenshin Kyoto arc.
Yeah,
that kind of it's not that great. I loved it because it was the first tournament show I ever saw. But
Video Girl Eye, which I loved, is now really dated.
In terms of stuff I hadn't seen that I thought I would really like and thought, Dominion Tank Police. I was like, what the hell? But the biggest discovery that I had, which blew my fucking mind, was Space Adventure Cobra. which I'm now a huge fan of. So,
oh, did you watch the UK dub yet?
I did. It was great. Awesome. It was really, really cool. It was really special. Anyway, really great question. I think we're about out of time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're about out of time. Come on up and grab your copy of Dragon Age, Dawn of the Seeker.
Yeah! It's like giving me tuberculosis.
D minus, says Anime News Network. okay. Sorry, Lance. I've got a few things left up here. Who wants the shopping bag? Just there you go. It's down there. There you go. Have that. Oh, I need that. And that about does it. I've got two things left. If anyone wants these, coming up after the show. Anyway, thank you all for coming. We really appreciate you coming out. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. We love you all. See you next time. Here you go, guys. Here, somebody take these. You've already wanted stuff. Here you go, buddy.